Welcome to the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your own Desiana Torres. This is a place for humbled, open, and transparent conversations with members of our own community. Here you can find diverse testimonies of the oppression and trauma faced on both individual and community levels. Do you want to validate the suppressed emotions you've never had the opportunity to speak about? Interested in breaking the silence? Then let's validate all that you feel right here, right now on this podcast. Let's go. What's good, everyone? Welcome and thank you for tuning in to the new IG Live series. I'm super excited to be able to have this conversation about motherhood. I feel like motherhood has been something that I have currently been experiencing, and it's truly been one of the experiences in life that has humbled me the most. If you are a mother, go ahead and comment on here. I want to know how many mamas that we have joining us on this live before we introduce our guest speaker. I also want to tune in and really thank y'all for really vibing with me, tuning in with me, allowing for me to have this space to have these conversations that are very open and vulnerable. Sometimes it's really scary for us, especially as mothers, to be able to come in here and share that it's not all easy, especially how we try to push it to be. Okay, I see a couple mamas in here. Hey y'all. And I just kind of want to start off by giving y'all a little life update of like what motherhood has looked like for me. So I had my son in September and he's now 4 months, and it's been a bunch of different experiences that I am so shocked that this is a part of motherhood that doesn't get showcased or talked about all the time. And so one of the things that we are going to be talking today is healing while being a parent. We're also going to be addressing some of the things that really impact us as mothers. But this month is really going to be a conversation that we're really going to be focusing on the struggles that we have as mothers, but also highlighting the good too. Like, it's going to be an equal balance of it. I am super excited to be able to showcase, I would say more so, the realness of it. Like, I really want us to be able to really, really get into it. So I'm gonna welcome in our guests now. We have Anna Crainton, who is a mother of two girls, and she's also a wife, and I'll allow for her to introduce herself further. But I'm super excited for the questions that we are going to have. So let me go ahead and invite her in. Me and her speaking, but we're really gonna allow for you all folks to kind of tune in and share your perspectives on this as well. And so let me send that. There we go. Hello,
can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Perfect. Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling a lot better. I'm not gonna lie, I had a little stomach bug today.
Parenthood.
And mommy don't stop. That's one thing I learned.
Even mommy don't stop.
Does not stop. Like, you still have to keep things going, even when you're feeling kind of like exhausted and just wanting to sleep. Nothing.
Yeah.
That we have as well when it comes to mother. So I just want to allow, give you the space to kind of introduce yourself a little bit. Allow folks to have an idea of who you are.
Well, thanks for having me. First of all, I'm honored to be the first guest on this whole series that you're starting. It's also my first IG Live, so thank you. So my name is Anna Crainton. I am a mom of two. I have she's almost 6-year-old and then a 3.5-year-old. My background is in, my major's in human services, mental health and counseling with the emphasis on high-risk youth. So I've ran residential facilities. I have done preschool. I've done special needs. But my most recent career was 10 years on the inpatient psych unit for kiddos. So the last 3 years, I've been home with my babies, though. So I love and love and love and love all children, honestly. So, yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much for introducing yourself. I'm going to go ahead and share to folks how we met.
Yes.
So
please.
So I believe I was pregnant still, right?
Yes.
Now, I was. So there was this yoga event that was occurring and I got invited to, and it was like a storytelling, almost like a healing circle with women and mothers particularly were able to kind of open up and share a safe space to really like cry out and share like, damn, this is hard. It is really hard to be a mom. And I remember that you were really sharing your story as a mother and an experience that you had. And I could tell that even it was hard for you to share it too.
Yeah.
But what was so impactful from that was how it validated a lot of the struggles or the feelings that mothers had. Because I feel like there's a lot of pressure there that we have as moms to just have it all together. Like you're supposed to.
Yes.
Reality, that's not how life works. And so mm-hmm. I appreciate that safe space that you created. And I'm very thankful to have you as a part of this IG Live series, especially as the opening guest.
Yes, thank you.
Same space. So I'm really excited for the conversations that we're going to have, but more so for the folks who are joining. Welcome. If some of y'all are mamas too, this conversation is something that can validate the experiences that you have. And so starting off, I really want to know, what is an experience that really challenged you as a mother?
An experience that involves my kids or that does not involve my kids?
Either or. So it could be experience that you had by yourself that maybe impacted your role as a mother?
So I would say a more real life experience that's probably more relatable. So I was raised by a single mom, and I've only seen my mom go, 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 right? Like there was never room to stop. There was never, there just wasn't room to stop. So a big thing that I've struggled with is allowing my husband to have a voice in our parenting. And I say that because, like I said, I've been home the last 3 years, so I'm technically what society would say is primary parent. But being able to delegate out like, hey, I need help, or hey, this is how you speak to them and it works and it's different than me, and being okay with it. That's probably been the biggest thing is raising my children in a two-parent household and learning my role in that two-parent household. Knowing that most times they're going to turn to mama, my husband included, but also being okay, letting him have space to not know and to learn. That's been hard for me. Till this day, it's hard.
To that so much, because there are times when my partner has my son and he's crying, I just almost is like, just give him to me. I got it. I know what to do. I know what he wants. And I felt like sometimes I was taking away an ability or an opportunity for him to learn, okay, what are some tips that I can mm-hmm. especially because I am the primary parent while he works and I'm with my son all the time. And so I know his cries, and then also yep. as I have that motherly instinct. And so we just know. And so sometimes it's easier for us to be like, I got it. I can take care of it. But like you said, it's good to create that space, allow them to figure it out too, so that also we can have that support. Because there are times, I don't know if it's for you. Well, you kind of mentioned it too, that they always come to you anyway.
Always.
Yeah. And that's kind of how my son is now. Everybody's like, oh my God, he's such a mama's boy. Like all he wants is his mom. And I'm like, well, I'm all he knows right now, really. And it's one of those things where it's a blessing, but then also there are times where you just need your alone time and you don't get that because they want mama.
Yes. No, literally right before we logged on here, I'm like trying to get my life together. And my youngest is like, mom, like holding on to me as I'm walking from my room. My oldest is like, I need help. And I'm just like, my husband's like, girls, come to me. And I'm like, so no, it's like the most inconvenient times, if they choose to make it convenient. It's never about our timing.
No, never. There are times when I run a hot bath and I'm like, I'm gonna take a relaxing bath, don't bother me. But then you just hear the baby crying the whole time, and the only thing you could think is like, I need to get out of here and I need to go tend to my child. And a comment on here that says, yes, and not feeling guilt or shame for needing that time for ourselves. That's so real, because sometimes I'm like, feel guilty for myself.
Yeah, I think with me, so an experience that I'll share an experience that you and I met over. Let me just say this. Being a stay-at-home mom is very hard. Being a stay-at-home mom is also not a title that I took on because of stigmas that society have tied to it. When really, like, I've come to be so grateful that I have the ability and the means to be a stay-at-home mom. With that being said, my path to getting here was very traumatic. I'm sure there's some people on here that know my story and there's some that don't, but I got injured at work. I was not able to walk for over a year. My youngest was 16 weeks. My oldest was 2 and a half. My husband traveled for work. I was working full-time, school full-time, and getting ready for nursing school. So I had to stop everything. So the guilt that I am now experiencing is not having my injuries to fall back on as a reason for me to need space and learning how to take space in my healthy body. And I think in terms of that with motherhood, it's not just injuries, but like recovering from delivery. Delivery and pregnancy is glorified. It's fucking hard. It's hard. And it's one of those things that's like, if you physically are okay and you bounce back mentally, emotionally, it's a huge shift. So the guilt is real. The guilt is real if you're a working mom, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a recovering mom. Like, I would say that it's not fair to try to bundle what motherhood guilt feels like, because everybody's journey to motherhood is different.
Yeah.
Everybody's day-to-day is different. Like, yes, you're mama, but mama is so many things to babies, right? So I have taken a bath and I've cried in the tub. I have come to journal and I'm like, not journaling. I'm just sitting here and I'm just proud of myself for keeping the door closed. So it's like giving grace, but like our reality is that our personal time is different. It will never be the same. It will never be the same. And it's going to be hard. Like the better you get at one part of it, the harder another part of it gets. If you get good at journaling, it's going to be a struggle to exercise. If you get good at girls' night out, it's going to be hard with like couples' night out. Like, it's just, it's a juggling act, right? So yeah, no, the guilt is universal. Absolutely.
No, it definitely is. And it's hard for us not to feel guilty.
Absolutely.
Especially to us being, you know, the ones who go through the entire experience, especially as being mothers. Like, I noticed that the sacrifice started as soon as you found out you were pregnant, you know? And one for me in my pregnancy was watching my partner being able to still go out and function and have a drink if he wanted to. And for me, I used to be like a negative Nancy because I was just jealous. And I'm like, dang, like, I want to be able to enjoy myself too, but I can't, you know? So the sacrifices start almost immediately. And so I started to notice that with my pregnancy, all the sacrifices started from pregnancy. And even after birth, you still have to sacrifice if you're breastfeeding. You know, it's just really hard for you to be at so many places at once. And so what I started to realize and recognize was my partner started to realize the sacrifices after birth, mm-hmm. because that's when they start making sacrifices. And I remember him mentioning to me, you know, that he was really struggling, that it was kind of hard for him too to kind of balance everything. And for me, I'm like, what? How is it? But for me, I've been doing it since, you know, since pregnancy. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, especially as mothers, that goes bypassed a lot is the sacrifices that go into being a mother. It's not just something that's physical where you are literally utilizing your body to grow a human being, but the mental toll that that takes on you and the changes in the identity shift that happens almost immediately, right? Mm-hmm. And so my next question for you is, how was that identity shift when you were pregnant, and how did you learn to maybe balance it or figure it out? Because I feel like for me personally, that's what I'm struggling with the most.
Mm-hmm. So, oh man, the identity. So honestly, from no baby the first baby from whatever when I had my first baby. The shift wasn't that hard, to be completely honest with you. And I think it wasn't that hard because it was like a grab and go. It was like, boop, let's go. And like I'm one of very few friends at the time that had kids. So it's like, it was one of those things that's like, bring the baby, bring the baby. And most times I'm like, okay. And then the times that I didn't, it was like one-on-one time because my husband was traveling. So my biggest identity thing was I had the diastasis recti. So I had a breastbone to pubic bone abdominal tear that was like 3 inches wide, about 2 inches deep, that I didn't know about for, oh my gosh, I think I was like 5 months postpartum. So like until this day, it's sensitive, but like, I was like, what is this pain? What is this abdominal pain? And it's like, you know, my doctor was like, I don't know. And then I went to my chiropractor and he was like, oh, it's this. And I was like, noted. So that for me, I was like, I felt like my body would never be recognizable. And I didn't have like the loose tummy, but it was the pain that like I couldn't describe to anybody. Motherhood, my first baby was really easy, to be honest with you. And but with that being said, I didn't take a bunch of girls trips. I didn't do a bunch of brunches. But I didn't feel as lost in myself because I had a phenomenal support system. Honestly, like that's the only thing that I can really identify was different than I expected, right? Like I didn't have to really do anything on my own. Now my second, game changer. So like I said, my husband traveled for work. So I was like, I would tell people this, like, I'm jealous that he gets to go sleep in a hotel room 5 days by himself. I don't care that you're working 17, 18 hour days because I'm working 24 hour days by myself with two and I don't feel bad for you. So that was a conversation that I had with him. Not because he was traveling, but because he had his own time. He had his own time. And then when I got injured, I was technically deemed as disabled.
Yeah.
So it's like I had to shift my identity not only to myself, but as my baby knew me. And that was hard. I felt like a situation that I had no control over changed my whole life. And now I have to figure it out, right? And that was hard. Asking for help for me was hard. Till this day, now that I'm like back, like in the swing of things, it's hard. I'm like, I don't need this. And my mom's like, actually my, and I'm like, dang, like now I really realize like what my asking for help looks like. And sometimes it's not me saying, hey, I need help. Sometimes it's me having a whole breakdown and my husband being like, go take a break. And me being like, okay. So now it's like, I have to allow myself to not try to fit into a lifestyle I had before I was a mom. And I'm not saying like, don't go have fun, don't go out, don't do this. But like, it is different and it should be different and it will never be equal with you and your partner. And I think that's what we don't ever want to hear. It's like, I will always have to do more than my husband because I'm mom. I have to do more for me and I have to do more for them. Part of it because simply because I'm mom. Like that's it. There's no other way to explain it. That's not saying that he's not capable, but that's saying that sometimes he's honestly not able because that's the role I play. And my lifestyle has to fit that. So like when I met you, it was a whole, I was like a mess. I was like, I can't go. I can't boop. Then I got there and I was like, boop, I'm out. Right. And it was, and then I came back when I realized, now that I'm finding my balance, how much of a better mom I am now that I'm not emotionally exhausted, right? Like, I don't care how good of a mom you are. If you're an exhausted good mom, you're gonna still run into hurdles, right? And I'm learning that now. Like, I'm not pushing myself beyond what I can do without pushing myself to do something for me first.
I love that.
And like, that's hard though. And it could be like, go for a walk, come up in my office and close the door, have my husband do bedtime, take a trip. I mean, buy myself, so I don't know, whatever. It's not the same as it was before kids, but I have to figure out my balance. I have to figure out my balance with my friends, my balance with my husband, my balance with my family, and it's not the same. And I'm not sorry for it not being the same, but I'm learning how to separate it. And it's evolving. So, you know what your help, know what your ask for help looks like, and be okay saying, I don't know how to ask for help. And also don't get offended when people offer, as long as it's somebody you trust. Now, if I don't trust you, don't offer a helping hand, because the answer is a hard no. Yeah. That's it. So yeah, just figure out, I mean, what your ask for help looks like, what your help in every role of life looks like, what's your role in work. Like for me, separating home and work is not a thing, because I'm home as a mom all day. This is my mommy time away right now. You know what I mean? So it's knowing what it looks like. It's going to be different than your homegirls, than your aunties, than anybody. And it's definitely different than my mom. My mom never had a moment to take a step away. So I sometimes feel guilty saying, oh yeah, mom, let's do dinner. I'm taking a break from my kids, when I never witnessed my mom getting a break. I never witnessed my mom having a village. I never witnessed any of that. Like, my brother is here eating pizza while I'm up here and my husband's doing something in his office. Like, I didn't grow up like this, but I'm also not sorry that my kids have this, but I'm learning how to be like, not just thankful, but like, huh, okay, they're fine. Like, it's okay, you know? So
be able to have that moment of breath, at least, you know?
Yeah.
That's so real, especially when it comes to being able to mentally separate yourself. Because sometimes, like you said, physically, you're always in the house. So realistically, they're always going to have access to you if they wanted it, right?
Yeah.
And so being able to mentally give yourself time and space to breathe really does allow us to go back and be a mom.
Yeah.
And be a better dad. Something that I'm learning as a mother is I do not have patience, okay? I feel that all great at many, many things. Trust me, I have talent, but I don't have patience. And that's where I struggle with the most. Be a mother, you need so much patience. And one of the things that I'm noticing, especially the first 2 months, where it's almost like you're in survival mode, you're sleep deprived, the baby is crying all the time, you're just like, what? What? What do you need? There were moments where I was afraid to, not that I was afraid, I really struggle with asking for help, because I'm always like, let me figure out if I can get it first. And then I definitely reached those moments where my partner was like, you need to go outside and just go. And you don't recognize how much those time away or those little moments really do mean so much for you. There are times where my son is just crying and I try everything. I'm like, diaper change, play this, that, and he's still crying, and I'm like, I need to go step outside. I'm like, I love you so much, mommy's just gonna step outside real quick. And even while I'm outside, I still hear him crying, and I'm like, oh my god, I need to get inside, but let me just breathe. And I notice the difference it has when I come back in the house, and I'm like, okay, my son, let's try this again, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than forcing myself to be overwhelmed. And I noticed my mother was also a single parent of 4 kids. And I'm like, how the hell? I have one, and I promise y'all, me and my partner talked about, we don't want no more
kids. No.
Like, I have to know what my limit is mentally. And I'm like, this is a lot. It really is a lot. So me and my partner have decided that we're one and done. For us to be able to recognize what we can handle, what we know our mental health can handle, and then also with the lifestyles that we want to live, we know that it'll be much more harder if we have more. And so I think having those conversations with our partners and being able to be open and sharing, like, this is what's working for me or this is what I'm struggling with, really hard, especially like when you are both first-time parents and you're both looking at each other like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing. But we're in almost in a sense trying to figure it out together. And so when we were talking about the identity shift, I'm a person where I am pushing, you know, with my own business and doing all, you know, everybody sees what I do in social media and like really just trying to pour and create spaces in the world. And sometimes I do feel guilty because, like we said before, when you're at home and you're the primary parent, there's sometimes where I'm like writing a post and my son's looking at me and I'm like, okay, let me put my phone down, you know, like let me be present. But then it's like time, you know? So it's hard to create that balance where you're like, I want to be present with you. So now I manage to do it like when he takes a nap, okay, that's when mommy goes and does the business stuff. And then as soon as sometimes I'll be in the middle of it and I'm like, hold on one more second, I'm almost done. But I think what is important is it's okay to not have it all together. It's
every
okay
single day.
All figured out. It's okay. Even sometimes you get angry and frustrated, like those emotions that do come up, they're so sometimes it is overwhelming. Sometimes you are overstimulated. There are times that I'm now where I'm giving all my attention to my son. And then there are times when my man is like, well, I want to cuddle too, you know? And I'm like, okay, you know? And I'm just, sometimes I just don't want to cuddle nobody.
Leave me alone.
And so, and it's not like I'm saying it in a mean way, but it's just that overtouched, overstimulated.
Yeah.
I'm learning to be okay with that. Like when I'm like, all right, y'all, like, I'm going to step away. I'm going to do this. And I think taking those moments again, I wanted to highlight are really important for us as mothers to be able to know that what we need for ourselves mentally to come back and be that better parent. Because I promise you, the moment I take where I'm like outside, I take and I come in. And it's almost like a switch. I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm here again. I'm present. And it really allows for us to really be in tune and connected with our relationships and our partners. And so going into being overstimulated, I wanted to ask a question as well. Was there ever a moment where you were triggered during parenting? And if so, how did you manage that situation?
Okay, real quick. I wanted to acknowledge a few things you said. The fact that you and your partner were both figuring out your identity through this as parents.
Yeah.
I think that we as moms sometimes get so caught up in, and some people might feel some type of way about me saying this, and that's fine. we get so caught up in everything being about us, right? Like, I'm overstimulated. I lost my identity. My identity is shifting. I was one of those people where I was like, kind of like you said, like, it's like, you're doing you, I'm going to figure out what I'm doing over here. What I have come to realize, and my husband and I just talked about this the other day. Like, I didn't really ask him how he felt becoming a parent. Mm-hmm. Like, how did this shift your identity? Because it shifting your identity as a parent also shifts your identity in my role in your world. Right.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, having those conversations, but also like in seeing that, I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one that's struggling. It was validating to me. Like, I'm not the only one that's struggling. I'm not the only one that's trying to figure it out. Do I know a little bit more than my husband in that regard? Yes. How? I think it's natural instincts. I also think I had a phenomenal mom to model a lot of things, that some that I've learned to keep and some that I've learned to let go. And that's just the circumstances of our circumstance, right? Life is just different, but none bad. Also, creating a safe space for my husband to say, this shit is hard, right? He's not going to call his friend, at least not that I know of. And most times he's not going to come to me until recently. We've been married 8 years, babe. If you're watching, don't quote me. We've been together for 18, married for 8. Yes, that's correct. And then with two kiddos. So you're shifting your identity, not only as a father, but as a father who's not present every day because of your profession. I didn't ask him, how was that for you? I didn't ask him, how does it feel leaving me knowing that I have the weight of our world on my shoulders? And if something happens, I have my boom people that I can call to pull up, but like, you're not here as dad. That is not something I took into account, and selfishly, but like unapologetically, because I had to make sure that I even had space to process that for him, because he deserves that too. And so with doing that now, I'm like, babe, how can I support you with the girls before you take your trip? Girls, how can we prep for daddy leaving? He leaves them notes on their beds that they have whenever he bought them special stuffies that they call dada's buddies, that like if they have feeling, like the things that they have come up with collectively without me have been beautiful, because it's not about me in that moment. It's about how can he leave and feel good knowing that it's going to be hard? And how can he come back feeling good knowing that it's possibly been extremely hard?
Yeah.
True. And I think giving space for that, of like, my identity has shifted because I now have to create space for somebody else who's learning how to parent and feel safe in communicating that to me. So shout out to you guys for even addressing that and identifying that, because I think that's what a lot of us as parents miss. It's like foreign, right? Like, oh, a man can communicate his needs. Ugh. Like, yes, and he should. And I also love that he tells our daughters, like, girls, daddy doesn't like leaving. Daddy doesn't like leaving. I'm not leaving you because I want to. I'm leaving you because I have to work. Like, it's nothing personal. Like you said, if you need to take a moment away, like, son, I'll be right back. Like, mommy just needs a minute. I think it's very important. And a key component in our home, I'll be like, look, mommy has big feelings. Mommy cannot find her words and mommy needs a break. I will set a timer for 5 minutes. When it goes off, we can try this again. I don't pretend to be anything more than I am to my kids. What you did was upsetting. I'm not mad at you, but I'm not okay with your behavior. That was unsafe. Boom, boom, boom. Right. And then also, Do you feel safe talking to mommy? Like, I asked, again, I slammed the door in my daughter's face the other day. It was one of those things where it's like, don't just walk into our room unannounced. And she walked in, and when I asked her, I was like, Z, get out, boom, right? Like, you're getting dressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And she lost it. I mean, I don't yell at my kids. I don't spank my kids. I don't, like, we talk through it. We have this umbrella of language that is beautiful, but it's still really hard. And we still have our meltdowns because we're all still very human. So when I asked her, she was like, I'm not ready to talk to you, mommy. I can't do it. And I was like, okay, let me know when you're ready. Because that didn't make mommy me feel good either. So I would love to talk about it before we leave, so we don't have to carry it out the house. She's three. When I asked her, she goes, well, it made me feel unsafe, mommy, because it was loud and your voice was really big. And I said, I understand that. And mommy made the choice to do that. And mommy wasn't prepared for that. And I apologize that I made you feel that way. What I also need you to understand is you can't just walk in mommy and daddy's room. And she goes, I didn't, mommy. Koa, our dog, had pushed the door open. Oops. I didn't know that. So I apologized to her. And I was like, thank you for telling me. I apologize. I hope that you can forgive mommy and that we can move on. But that's not what a lot of people see in their homes either, right? Like, some kids may have never been able to say, like, the dog opened the door. And I felt horrible. And then my husband was like, that was too much. I was like, I don't have space for your comments right now either. Like,
yeah.
And we got back to it, but it's not even like on some aggressive anything. It's like, I'm human. I made a mistake. I apologize. Also, don't just walk in to our room. Like all the points were hit. I don't feel like I need to win when I'm talking to my children because I don't want them to feel like they lost. That's never my goal. So shout out to having those big conversations. About the triggered question. Was there ever a time in parenthood triggered by my kids? Because here's the other thing. Other people's children often trigger me.
Go there.
It's not always a bad trigger. And sometimes I think because of the type of person I am, I want to talk to the kids so that we can have a different conversation or we can have a different outcome or they can be heard differently because I, which you know, am a firm believer that every behavior is a message, right? Behaviors are either validation or a cry out for help, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I also see the world differently, like through the lens of children. And so when I say some kids trigger me, I don't believe like kids are bad. I believe that kids are misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're misunderstood because a lot of adults, not even parents, but like teachers, caregivers, grandparents, whatever, don't have the capacity to have the space to let kids explain why they did something, right? Also, they often feel, let me choose my words wisely here. They often feel bothered by the fact that a child is voicing their opinion and it not be considered disrespectful. So, like, a time that I was triggered, sweet baby Jesus. So this is my daughter's first year in kindergarten. Okay. First year, hopefully her only year. It's my first time having a child in public school. the first 6 weeks were rough. I'm not gonna lie to you. We had an incident where a little boy was throwing rocks at her on the playground. Mm. We had an incident where a little girl put rice in her hair. We had an incident where a little boy was out of control and she got kicked. All within like 3 to 4 weeks of each other within the first 2 months of school. Okay. So yes.
That's a lot to happen that quick.
It's a lot. And the thing is my oldest, both my kids, my oldest is like we are like for real, like spiritually connected. Like that's my world outside of my body. And it was hard for me because, again, I worked with troubled children, as the system would call it. I would say like children with challenges for over a decade. But when it's your child that's targeted, it's different. What I will say is I have a really good relationship with the principal, who's a Black woman, which a lot goes said without having to be said. And like, I appreciate that because we are in a predominantly white neighborhood. I have a phenomenal relationship with her teacher. I also asked her at the beginning of the school year, if something comes up, because it's very hard for mommy to leave you somewhere for 8 hours and me not have control over the situation. It was also really hard for her to go from being home with me all day, every day, to being away. It was also really healthy for her to do that. So I asked her in the beginning of the school year, I said, I want you to pinpoint 4 people that you consider your safe space. If something happens, first of all, you know mommy's going to show up anyway. But since I'm not there, who are your safe people if something happens? We pinpointed that. Her teacher, her principal, and two of her specials teachers. Because she has that, there wasn't one point that, even in the midst of all that happening, she felt unsafe. There wasn't a point in all of that that she felt unheard, because I also made it very clear, my child has a voice. Her voice is valued. She does not have to be the biggest in the room. She does not have to be the loudest in the room, but she will be heard. Yes. And if you don't hear her, I promise you, you'll hear me. So I'm going to let her control the situation, and I'm going to follow her lead. But I'm going to trust my child before I trust anybody else, because it takes a lot for a kid to make up a story and be consistent with it.
Yes, that part.
So those were all really triggering moments for me. The little girl that put rice in her hair is one of her best friends now. And that situation was probably hardest for me, because I was like, oh no, a little no, hair code, don't touch my hair. This, it looks different, this, that, and the third. I have locks, my husband has locks, like, we're Black, we're very Black, we're very proud to be Black. Our neighbors know it, love it, respect it, and if they don't, they deal with it, and that's okay. I don't ever want my kid to apologize for being who she is. I don't want her to apologize for being gentle. I don't want her to apologize for being kind. I don't want her to apologize for being intelligent. I don't want her to apologize for the color of her skin, her beauty, her brains, for her flaws, for her. I don't want her to ever apologize for any of that. I want her to feel confident and secure enough in who she is, and understand that she is supported by us in being who she is. And no, perfection isn't the goal, because it's not real. But, like, you can be perfectly who you are and be okay with that. And I think because she is strong at 5, a lot of kids don't know how to deal with that. And she doesn't know how to deal with people that don't know how to deal with that, because that's how our whole circle is. So we're shifting. I'm constantly telling her, mommy can't solve it for you, but I can give you the tools and you can show me how you want to use them. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel like this. If your heart's not happy, how can we get it to a place where it is? Because you deserve to feel that, and nobody deserves to take your peace. We have these conversations, and it gives me some peace of mind, because she doesn't feel like there's anything she can't tell me. Now, she's still a 5-year-old. She still does 5-year-old things. My 3-year-old still does 3-year-old things. And that sometimes triggers me too. I get triggered by my own children, partly because I see a lot of me in them.
Hear you.
Also because, like, they're kids, and, like, their world doesn't make sense to adults. And the best way I get through that is understanding that I have to give my children space to be human. And, like, this childhood is intended to be childlike behavior and make childlike mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I have to give myself room to raise children, allowing them to do that. So, no, I get triggered by my kids every day, my own kids, every single day.
And I'm pretty sure you are not the only one. Like, I'm pretty sure there's many parents on here who can validate that.
I still trigger my mom, hands down. I know that probably every single day.
I know, it doesn't stop. That's what my mom said. My mom is like, you know, I'm learning how to be a mom every day, because every day or every year, you all get a year older. I've never been a mom to a 30-year-old.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and so I think that really does highlight a lot of what you were saying. I'm going to read some of the comments here,
yeah,
because they were really sharing some love. We have folks saying they admire your transparency. They also speak to their daughter. They completely understand. It's Nikki also mentioned that more adults apologizing to children. I think that's so important there, because we noticed a lot. I don't know if anybody else can relate to this. My upbringing, we never have parents apologizing to us at all. You can, I'm the kind of person where I like to pinpoint how you were wrong. Like, I know how to connect the dots. And so my mom used to say that as a young one, I would always trigger her that way, because I'm always the kid to always ask all the questions. And my mother wasn't the one to always give you the answer. Her was because I said so.
Okay.
And so I'm always like, well, that's not good enough. She used to always tell me that when your son gets older, he's going to be asking why. And I tell her, I hope he does. You know, I really hope he does so I can explain to him too. But she laughs. She's like, sometimes you're not going to want to always explain to your kids.
Yeah.
She's like, that's sometimes you're tired, you're exhausted, and you're like, I told you this already, why this is. And she's like, well, kids, you always have to be repetitive. You always have to keep expressing it so that they really get it. And so more comments on here saying that they wish they can that's why they want to homeschool their children as well, which makes sense because when you send your kids off and there's a bunch of other kids, you don't know how other people raise their kids. You could be 100% confident in how you raise your kids.
Yep.
Now, you know, you send them off into an environment where oftentimes there is bullying that exists. I mean, we see a lot of what's going on in the education system right now, so it is scary. I definitely understand that comment as well. We also have folks saying it also leads the way for our children to advocate for themselves, and that is also so important. And so by hosting those conversations where you're allowing for them to express themselves, allows for them to almost practice that ability to be able to advocate for themselves as well, to be like, I didn't like how that made me feel.
Yep.
This didn't feel right, and I'm gonna speak up about it. Like the way she was like, Mom, your voice was big. Like, that's such a kid way to explain something that makes sense, you know? And the way that you were able to take back and be like, I apologize. I didn't know the dog was the one who, you know, kicked over.
I felt so bad. I was like,
but that's what motherhood is. It's going to be a lot of those moments. And mind you, I'm only 4 months in and I'm learning. So I'm telling you, motherhood is really humbling me as a person. Because I thought I used to be that person that was like, I helped raise my siblings, so I know what it's like to have kids. You don't know what it's like to have kids unless you have them yourself. And I 100% believe that because, like I said, I was the one who was always saying that. And so something I learned the most is how we talk to our kids and the way that we explain things to our kids really allows for them to better understand their feelings, better analyze situations, and understand, like when you were saying, who are your safe people? I think that was really smart. And actually, I think a lot of parents should have that conversation with their kids as well, because there's so many kids who grow up and having things happening to them and they don't know who is the safe person that they can go and talk to or express things to or have somebody else advocate for them when they can't advocate for themselves. And so I think it's really impactful to have that conscious, or at least that ability for you as a mother to know that your daughter knows who she can go out to when you're not there. So it
also gives me like a sense of peace because I check in with them regularly. Like I'm known at the school and I love that. I love that they know that I'm going to show up in all situations, right? I don't hold my kid to any expectation that I don't hold any other child to. I don't hold myself to any expectation. I don't hold any other parent to. The thing is that what I can say is that a part of my parenthood that I'm really proud of is that, and my husband as well, we are consistent. Our children know exactly how we are going to be in our home and out of our home. We don't change our character based on our circumstances or our situation. I really believe that, you know, parents, I don't know. I'm sure you heard growing up, like, you represent me. When you step out this house, they see you, they see me. Okay. When we step out of our house, they see our children. Our children see us. Like, we too, even outside of our children's presence, represent our children. And that is a big, big, big thing to acknowledge as parents. And I didn't realize that. I mean, I realized it, but I didn't really get it until, honestly, I was like at the grocery store looking really bad. I don't even know if I had showered. It was one of those, I don't know, that's probably every day. But I had gone to the grocery store, which is rare for me to go, but I was like, I need something. And somebody's like, oh, you're so-and-so's mom. You're like the kindy parent. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, and not that I was like, but I was like, Anna, you need to do better. Even if you're not showered, like, put on, like, get yourself together. Like, never be in too big of a rush to not be okay with how you look. Because that was one of the days that I was like, mind, like, just mind your business. It's fine. Hi, hello. But also, even like my behavior as a mom, I am very proud of how I present myself in challenging situations in front of my children and not in front of my children. Like, it takes a lot to get me out of character because I have a lot to lose if you pull me out of character. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the thing. Because I tell people, I haven't always been this, right? Like, I will still get down if I need to. I will never step out of character and disrespect not only myself, but also my children. Because then I have to explain it to them. And they're going to have to explain it to somebody else. And so I really look at moments like that, like the lady who her daughter had put rice in her hair. We're like mom friends now. We were mom friends before. And it hurt my heart. And I was like, I told her, I was like, look, I worked the system. I went through the school. I let them do their thing. And then I followed up. And I told the principal, I'm trusting the system, but only to a certain degree because I used to work in it. So I know how this goes. And then I reached out to the mom and she was like, thank you so much for talking to me and not attacking me. Because the re reality is, it could be any of our kids doing stuff like that and the other kid just not be telling their parents, right? So when she said, thank you for not attacking me, I think that alone, we as parents get so wrapped up, like these are my babies, and I'm gonna go hard for them every single time. But I don't have to go after people every single time. Like me and the crosswalk lady had some words a few weeks ago. She was very out of care.
Remember you
Ma'am,
sharing?
I'm gonna need you not to be a person that these children trust, but you jump in front of my truck to move a cone. You're showing them. Like the things like that. So I think, it's parenthood is not easy. Even the best parents have it hard because they're parents. Like, and everybody's heart is different. Every kid's needs are different. And that's, for me, has been interesting. Like, my children are, of course, they're two different people, but they're two completely different personalities. And they ch challenge me every single day. Every single day, but I also believe that they feel safe showing me and bringing me any behavior. Like, and I can't ask for anything more than our home to be a safe space because the world isn't. Right, and I'm not pretending that it is, but I'm showing them their power in being who they are and how they are, and like you're only in control of yourself. You're not in control of mommy's feelings. It's not your fault mommy slammed the door in your face. What is your fault is that you walked in this bedroom, like, and breaking it down like that. So yeah, parenthood is motherhood.
It's a learning experience every day. Like,
Yeah.
it adds something to your resume of something you learned from being a parent.
Yeah.
And that I'm learning too, and that there's folks that are who are on here. Rocio, I see you. Sophie, I see you. There's folks who have kids now, and I openly share things that I'm struggling with as a parent, especially like postpartum. And there's always folks who are extending out the help or advice of things that worked well for them. And I'm like, wow, so this is not just me, because what I'm seeing on social media is everybody got it down. Like, it seems like everybody is not going through what I'm going through or experiencing postpartum in the ways that I am. But in reality, I think it's just that Instagram, just that false,
It's
representation
glorified.
of what
Well,
motherhood looks like.
and I tell people one of the hard, and I think you met me, oh man, a year ago. I think I was coming out of it. I was in the thick of it. I struggled with depression for a long time. It It was depression from injuries, but then it turned depression postpartum because I had to stop being mommy as I knew to be mommy to accommodate other things. And that was really hard for me. I am not oblivious to the fact that like mental health is a struggle, right? I'm really good at putting on face, but I tell people like my eyes don't lie. When I was down, if you look at my eyes, you could tell like I was down, but I couldn't stop. Like, but a lot of people on social media have reached out to me because I'm like another day of surviving depression as a mommy. And it's not about, oh, like, girl, you're fine or this or that. It's like, you never know what it looks like. You never know what it feels like. You don't always have the words to explain it. Also, being in the mental health field, it was hush hush, right? Like there's certain, and this is what we don't talk about, is there are certain professions that it's like, oh, we offer these support, counseling, mental health services, but if you utilize them, you're putting your job at risk. Mm-hmm. Or if you tell your family, like, oh, or your friends, like, girl, you're fine. Like, what I hated was, Anna, if, I mean, oh gosh, my injuries, let me just recap a few. My hip was broken. My glute med was completely torn. I've had 2 reconstructive surgeries within 6 months of each other, and just my most recent surgery 12 weeks ago. Been a process. What I hated was, Anna, if anybody can do it, you can, because you're strong. I said, I don't want to be strong. I'm human. I don't need to be strong. I'm human. Nobody feels safe when all they have to be is strong. Like, nobody feels, and I think that's part of social media, nobody feels like they can be who they are because their house is too messy. They're crying too much. Their makeup, their face isn't beat. Their clothes look this. Their kids are crying. Like, first of all, why does your opinion matter so much to me? Because it really does. Like, I hate that for me. Like, I won't post something because I'm like, eh, right? And then you post it and you're like, girl, me too. And it's like, but it took 6 months to get off my phone onto my feed, right? And I think that's one of those things. It's like, we didn't grow up witnessing people being okay, not being okay. What we are raising are people that know that it's okay to not be okay. Mm. And I think that if I get nothing else out of being a mom, I hope that I connect with people and show people and remind people that no matter how good you got it, every day you're not going to be okay. Every day is hard. Your children are your greatest teachers. And they keep it real because they have no filter. So know that if your kids hurt your feelings, let them be hurt. Yeah. If your kids made you feel great, let them know they made you feel great. Don't hold that against your children, whether it be good or bad, because your children are not responsible for your joy and they also aren't responsible for your sadness. It is not our children's job to heal us.
And I think, see it that way.
It's like children aren't accessories. They're not. We can put them in the nicest clothes. We can do whatever we can do for them, and what we can do is different. But what I'm going to say is our children are not responsible for the type of people that we are. I want to make sure that my children, when they have the ability to really dig deep in who mommy is, who daddy is, that they're happy with who we are. And they know, like, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Like, on a regular basis. Because how I raise my kids doesn't affect anybody but my children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't reparent your kids and have this. They're only newborn once. They're only this one, you know, and like you can address your relationship with your child in their adulthood, but you can't make up for their childhood. And it like I said, doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be real. It has to not be, for me, traumatic. It has to not be fake.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be fake.
And I think
like, nope.
That's what a lot of folks, especially when it comes to childhood, you see the impacts that a lot of folks are struggling with now as adults because or the ways that they weren't able to express themselves or the trauma that they experienced in their household. And so when we are coming from situations, me personally speaking from that, coming from situations like that, I sometimes have to be mindful of the words that come out my mouth, especially when I'm frustrated, because there are times with my son when he cries and cries and cries that I just want to be like, just shut up, you know?
Shut up.
I'm like, I'm saying it in my head. I would never say it out loud because, again, that's my feelings. That's something that I got to process. Go step outside, take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
But there's kids who never had the parents come in with that consciousness to be able to be like, I'm not going to put that onto you. Mommy's frustrated, yes, but I'm not going to pour that onto you and allow for you to not feel safe to express yourself based on how I react. And we see that a lot with kids who are like, oh, I never told my mom because I was scared how she was going to react. And I think that's really, really important in the way that we talk to our kids. And like you were mentioning before, allowing for your kids to have a grasp of full understanding of what the situation was from your perspective, what it was from their perspective, and then coming together mm-hmm. to be able, okay, I take responsibility for my thoughts on this end, and allowing for that for our kids to also know the reasons behind why we're so overprotective or why we are trying to be so firm sometimes. Because when your daughter was like, you know, your voice was big or loud, or, you know, that wasn't something she was used to, and allowing them to still feel safe even when we mess up, you know?
Yeah.
And so with my mom, I can understand her frustration with having four kids, especially being a single parent.
Yeah.
And why she have those moments where she did tell us to shut up, you know? And so it allows for me to learn grace. And so I know we're coming to an end, but I really want us to end with that question is why is it important to give yourself grace as a mother?
Because you're human.
Mm-hmm.
And you deserve it. You deserve it for you more than you deserve it for your children.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I think that grace is something that it's going to look different every single day. It's going to look different every hour of the day. It is going to it might be ugly. It might be ugly. Like, grace might be messy, but like, let yourself be messy if that's what you need to be. Let yourself feel ugly if that's what you need to feel, right? But also free yourself of all of that, because holding on to it only holds you down and it's only going to impact you. So I give myself grace, and I struggle with giving myself grace, but the first thing I say is like, Anna, you're human. You're human. If you're giving it to everybody else, why aren't you giving it to yourself? It sounds really good coming out of my mouth, but it's really hard to implement in my body every single day. You know, like, my kids might be late because I need to eat. That's me giving myself grace, because otherwise I'm going to forget to eat. Right? No, babe, I didn't prep this, so I need you to. I'm giving myself grace by giving myself permission to delegate something to somebody else that's fully capable in this house, even if it's inconveniencing them a little bit, because I'm inconvenienced all the time. Like, letting myself be human, and being okay with it.
Yes, yes. And I feel like for folks, especially mothers who are watching this, I really hope that you are taking a lot of these points to be able to identify why grace is so important for you as a mother, because we do have our hands all in the pot, okay? We are everything to our kids, and our kids come to us, and everyone, even our partners, come to us. And so there are moments where we might not have all the answers, and that's okay.
Yep.
Or maybe we don't have energy, and that's okay. And I feel like for me, what grace looks like, especially coming out and dealing with postpartum depression, is reminding myself that I am human. I keep telling myself, you're supposed to have lost all your baby weight. You're supposed to have this. And I'm like, why am I holding myself to these unrealistic standards? And I had to question, like, okay, it's because of what I'm seeing online. I'm seeing everybody snap back quick, and I'm comparing myself to something that is completely different. I'm different from another person. And so I have to give myself grace in that sense to be able to be like, it's okay if you're not snap back all the way. You just had a baby.
Yeah.
And that I was really struggling. And I was telling my mom, was like, when it was in terms of the weight, I'm like, it's not dropping. And here's a funny story. And I'm gonna say it real quick because I know we're kind of going over time. When 2 weeks after my son was born, I finally had the courage to step on the scale. And I stepped on, and I'm like, oh, I'm down 10 pounds. I was so proud, y'all. I'm down 10 pounds already. And then I realized, like, wait, my son was 10 pounds.
But you're still down 10 pounds, okay? And you have a son to show for it, and you just claim that greatness, okay?
Right.
You claim it.
And it was just so funny to me because it reminded me of how hard I am on myself. And I felt like there are mothers who have kids who are older now, and they still carry so much and forget to give themselves grace to make mistakes, to not have all the answers, and to really just be gentle with ourselves in the process of motherhood, because some of us have kids who are growing every year, and every year is a new opportunity for you to learn how to be a mother to a 6-year-old, to a 7-year-old, to an 8-year-old, to a 30-year-old, you know, like it never stops.
Mm-hmm.
And so grace is almost important to allow for ourselves to continue to navigate with confidence, especially like affirming ourselves and being like, I am safe. Maybe
absolutely.
Recognize what others are if you find that your children are triggering you and you're not taking time to kind of process that, or, you know, to kind of deep breathe and almost regulate your emotions, it can really impact the way that we show up for our kids. And I think that's really important as well. So I really want to thank you again for being a part
yes.
for this new IG Live series. Especially,
you are welcome.
I think it's really important for us to have the perspectives of different people, because I want to highlight and illuminate that not all mothers function the same, and not all, you know, it's not all supposed to be the same, because our kids are
nobody ever has it all together. I will say, like, I just want to leave myself and everybody else with this. Give yourself grace in a real realm for you, right? Your grace at work is different than your grace at home. Also, like, a big part that has helped me give myself grace is giving other parents grace. Mm-hmm. We're so quick to judge, like, naturally.
Yeah.
And making it a point to not be as judgmental, because I think naturally we're human. But be okay asking more questions. Like, yo, if that was me, how would I feel? Mm-hmm. Like, also, like, hey, mama, your son dropped this. Do you need help? Help. Can I grab that for you so you don't have to leave the basket? Like, never anything where people feel like you're trying to take their children, because that's the world we live in. Like, we can't be too comfortable, but, like, don't be so uncomfortable that you're afraid to let other people be human in this process too. And that allows me to give myself grace, because my kids will cry throughout the entire grocery shop, and we're going to get what we need, and we're going to get out, and I'm going to tell them they're safe and they're fine and they're great. But, like, you can't always control every situation. So instead of being like, oh, that's a badass kid, maybe like, oh, that's a tired ass mama. Or like, maybe she's trying to figure this out by herself, or maybe her baby's sick, or maybe the dad is his first time grocery shopping by himself. I mean, give people the same grace that you want them to give you without the judgment. And I look at my life, sometimes I'm like different Annas, right? Like, and like, what would I tell this Anna if it was an out-of-body experience? Like, sis, you can skip your workout today. It's okay. So, no, I love it. Thank you for having me. I can't see the questions, but if people have questions for me, send them, please. I would love to I don't know, this live thing isn't as scary as I thought it was. But I will gladly answer questions or whatever of people if they have them. But Des, thank you so much. Like, we're going to go back to, we're going to connect in real life again real soon. I feel it.
Definitely. And I'm really excited for you to take on the opportunity. I know this is your first time on IG Live, and I really was excited for you to experience this because some folks really think it's really scary. And I'm like, sometimes it is, but it's not when you're really speaking and having a conversation. It feels natural. And so I hope this really inspires you to maybe go live on your page and allowing you to look, I'm speaking it out there because I see
I'm like, what am I going to do a series on? Let's talk about it.
I can definitely help you with the plan. I really appreciate all the folks. I know that they says tell Mel to run another Moms and Mocktails, Anna. And so, yes, we definitely will. I believe that's where we all met.
Yes, at Plant Chica. Chica? Chica. That's right.
And we'll definitely link up for all the mamas on here. I appreciate you. I see you. I hear you.
Yes.
And
I do too. Five years in, it's still hard.
And I'm like, okay, that makes me feel like at least I'm prepared to know what's to come.
Yeah, just be prepared to be unprepared, because that's what it is.
Love it. That is so real. For all the mamas on here, thank you so much for tuning in. Please
thank you.
She's tagged on the post for the flyer for this IG Live. If you have any personal questions, definitely reach out. We have some comments saying thank you so much for the both of you, or to the both of you. This is so valuable and beautiful. I appreciate the vulnerability on a platform that does the complete opposite. Both so inspirational. I appreciate you, Karina. Thank you so much. And then
thank
we also
thank
you so much as well. So we appreciate you all. We hope that y'all got from this conversation what we enjoyed talking about.
Yes.
And for the key points to this is just navigate with grace, okay? Because you're not always gonna have the answers to everything, and that is okay. So I appreciate you, Anna. I hope you have a really good night. And to everyone else, also have a great night, because I know it's Monday.
Yes.
And you all have the rest of the week.
Y'all be happy, healthy, and well. Thank you.
Righty, bye.
Bye.
Thank you again for tuning in with my podcast, Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications for future episodes that will be full of authentic storytelling by members of our own community. You can find me on Instagram at CONFI_DEZ. If you haven't already gotten your copy of my poetry book titled The Becoming of Her, be sure to get yours today. We forget that reading is just as reflective and powerful. I'm sending lots of love and peace and light to you all. May we continue to heal ourselves and each other every day.